Welcome to the Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast on the Bill Purveyance. This week I'm here with Antoine and Steve, and we're talking about Adepticon. So why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Geeks of the North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here this week with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
And B. Steve.
Hey, hey, hey.
How's it going, guys?
Very good.
Good, good.
You? Excellent. Can't complain. Well, I could complain, but no one wants to hear about the gross things my body's doing to me right now. Those who are my friends on Facebook have read about it, and I'm sure some of them have nightmares. In fact, one of them said as much. So, but I'm still here to record because I'm dedicated. Yeah. So that life is good. I've got miniatures to paint. What could go wrong?
We always have miniatures to paint.
We always have miniatures to paint. That's right. That's why I'm going to live forever. All right. So this is going to be our Adepticon
wrap-up
show? Recap show? Several weeks after Adepticon? But we were like nearly 2 months after Captain Con, I think, before we recorded that show. So what the hell?
The delay is closer.
Yeah. We're getting better with time. It's not like we have a schedule. All right. So, but first we're going to do our cool stuff on the web. Then we're going to do a little bit of hobby time as usual. Then we'll take a quick break. And then we'll come back and listen to Steve talk about Adepticon. Because I was there, but I did nothing. So, let's get started with the cool stuff on the web. Antoine, why don't you take it away?
So, this has passed a lot on the web in the different hobby groups. But for people who are not following those or miss them, it's a couple of painted cars. But when you load the page, it doesn't look like anything somebody painted for the hobby. It looks like a cell from a manga page. So it's cell shading done on three models, two race cars. And it's incredible. It doesn't look like a painted model. It just looks like an illustration.
Yeah. Well, it's not two race cars. It's two cars racing.
Yeah, they're two cars racing. Yeah, sure.
One's an RX-7 Model 3, and the other one is a Toyota 86, which is a little like four-cylinder hatchback from Initial D.
If you say so.
Yeah.
For me, it's a gray and a yellow car.
Yeah. It's a good anime. It's completely unrealistic, but it's okay. It's anime.
It's an anime.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be an anime if it was realistic.
Well, you know, you say that, and yet I had staff at my work who watched said anime and then thought they were going to become street racers. And it went about as well as you would expect.
You do know that pot is only going to be legal starting July. You should tell them to your coworkers.
Well, they're no longer working for me. This was a few years back, but okay. Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah, I ridiculed them a little bit.
I could only imagine you being sarcastic. Impossible.
Yeah, I know.
Would have thought
never.
So anyway. Those two models have been painted by the Twitter user Shinga. And as you mentioned, they're based on the Initial D, that's the name of the manga? Or anime?
Both, yep.
Okay. Yeah. So we have we'll have a link in the show notes as usual. And there's a work in progress pictures as the cars were painted. So you can see all the steps and where it doesn't look like it's going to look like anything. And at the end, it's amazing.
Yeah, the end result is so cool.
Yeah. And actually, if you like the look of kind of the cel-shaded paint jobs, there's a Canadian painter who's been doing a lot of cel-shaded stuff recently. So a little shout-out there to Mike Cousins, Epic Duck, I believe is his painter name on Facebook. Yep. And he's got some pretty cool cel-shaded stuff he's doing for Relic Blade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a neat little skirmish game we've talked about a few times. And he actually just posted a picture today of a cel-shaded fox he did or whatever. It looks amazing. I have to say that style is really growing on me. I can't paint like that, but if I could, I'd definitely try it. I hear the sounds of someone typing to Facebook this right away.
It's me. Looks really good.
Yeah, no, he's a super nice guy. He actually Twitch streams painting every week, or a couple times a week, I think. I don't know what his schedule is, but he's worth checking out, and he's a super nice dude. He's Canadian, you know, kind of stands to reason. All right. Sidetracked. Yeah, okay. Hobby time. I did hobby. Okay, Antoine, you're up. No, I'm just kidding. So, I'm still in my my War Machine groove. I'm in such a groove for it, I couldn't think of what the name of the game was. So I've painted some Manowar models for the Kador theme list that's completely unplayable right now, but someday soon there's models coming out for it, which may make it playable. Possibly.
May.
Yeah. It remains to be seen. But they've been my favorite model since Mark 1. So this is close they've gotten to playable in 15 years. I can almost taste it, you know. So I'm going to paint them. I'll be ready.
You'll take a chance.
I'll die with honor. Yep. And then aside from that, I decided I was going to crack open a bunch of big boxes of stuff I had and start washing some resin this weekend. So I opened up the what I've affectionately termed the Mold Breaker, which is the Dwarven Siege Breaker. I think it's what it's called, the Colossal.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrible. There's mold slips on every piece. Every claw is twisted.
Wow.
I'd send a letter to front desk, but I'd be like, hey guys, just send me a whole new model. Like the two main body chunks are fine. Everything else is crap. It's terrible. I don't know. I must have got the one that was like the one they decided after that one. Yeah, no more with this mold. Let's make a new mold.
Is it resin or?
Yeah, it's resin. Yeah, no, it's one of the older Colossals, and they've never made a plastic kit for it, because it doesn't sell as much. It's not a main faction, really. It's the Dwarven sub-faction for mercenaries. I mean, it'll still look fine once painted up and everything, but I was pretty disappointed for a $100-something model.
Yeah, it just means more work preparing.
Yep. And then
not fun.
And then I opened up my Stormstrider.
And it's worse?
No.
Kind of. Different?
Wow.
Different. So in this one, the resin pieces are actually pretty well done. But the Stormstrider is kind of like a walking electric ball thing with like a platform around it.
Yeah, yeah.
The platform is made of metal. And there's, like, the resin ball is supposed to sit in it. But, of course, on mine, the resin ball can't sit in it because the hollowed-out area where the peg for the ball is supposed to sit is actually filled with metal that leaked in the mold. And there was probably about as much flash on this piece as the piece itself. So they, like, doubled the mass of the piece with flash. I'm not even kidding. I had pieces of flash. Well, the so what it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be like a hub in the middle with, like, some arms that go out with two, like, decking-type platforms. But the space between the arms was completely filled with metal. Thin, to be sure, because it was the mold wasn't properly pressed together or whatever.
Okay.
But still, it was, like, ridiculous. I had to laugh. Because I fought for hours cleaning the stupid siege breaker. And I'm like, oh, okay, this will be my palate cleanser. And the first thing I see is that piece, right? And I start laughing. And I was at my mom's visiting this weekend when I was doing this, and she's like, what's going on? I'm like, remember how I showed you that other thing that was all mismolded? She's like, yeah. I'm like, this is the first piece of the new kit. She's like, you can't be serious. She said, well, I can't repeat what she said in this podcast, because my mother is a pirate, apparently. And swears like a sailor.
I can do beep for you if you want.
Yeah. Beep. it was a lot of expletives, and she wasn't even the one that had to assemble it, right? So. It was pretty impressive, the amount of flash on there. Then I assembled an old Rowdy, which is a Signar character warjack, but it's a spare, so I converted him to Triumph, so I did some final assembly on that. I put the body together before. That was also horrid, but it's an old model, so I can forgive it. And, well...
So this week was a streak of badly molded models?
No, I also assembled... Nemo 3 and his Storm Chaser Finch or whatever. And they went together nice.
Okay.
Nice little models. So, 1 out of 4 ain't bad.
So your smallest models were was fine.
Yeah, I've also got a box of Trencher Long Gunners I want to assemble before Wednesday for a game. And they also looked good, but I haven't assembled them yet.
It may be deceiving.
No, no, they're a new kit and a new mold, so they look good. And then I also want to put my Alexia and the Risen. I got to glue them to bases, but they're all one-piece models. And you might be hearing a cat meow at me.
Oh, yeah. I'm having cat problems as well, so.
Well, Tiffy doesn't think this is a problem. She's just like, why aren't you petting me?
I have the same problem with Marianne. And she's going to scrub herself against any bag she's going to find downstairs. So, hear some weird noises.
That's why bags were invented, right? To entertain cats.
Exactly.
Aside from that, didn't really play any games the last few weeks. My gaming nights have all been canceled or just people didn't show or... Yeah, it was bad. All bad. I did sneak in... a game of Gaslands, Antoine. I don't know if Antoine wants to talk about that.
Yeah, I was going to mention it, but we can mention it during your time because you don't have enough other stuff to talk about.
Sure, okay. So we played Gaslands. It is a lot of fun.
Yes, it is.
Super simple rule set. Or simple enough rule set, I should say. It's not super simple. There's some tactical depth there. Okay. There's something there. tactics are not traditional tactics. The thing about the game is you got to know how fast to be going at what time if you want to be able to do stuff, and you got to pre-plan all your moves. Or you play like me and you just go full speed all the time and rely that you will roll the right things on the dice you need to make the changes you need to make.
Yeah, and not crash.
And in my case, it worked all game long.
Cool.
Yeah.
And everyone else's case, not so much.
Oh, really not.
I couldn't figure out why everyone was being so conservative. Because like, it's working for me. Like,
well, I wipe out in the first turn.
Yeah, you wiped out taking off from the start line. That was awesome. Yeah. I think also one of the cars was down to 3 hit points after his first move of the game.
Yeah.
That's because I may have rammed into him when I think about it. Yeah, that was my fault. I ran into him off the start line. and I think the best part about this game is the fact that no one won.
Because that was crazy.
Everyone died in the same activation, basically. Same turn, maybe one activation apart. Because like everyone died on gear 3, and then everyone died, like half people died in gear 3, and then half people died in gear 4, I think it was. Or yes, gear 2 was. And gear 3, or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it was pretty epic. And the fact that Yom exploded himself, because we played a 4-man game, Yom blew himself up because he felt he had to try to kill Antoine?
Yes.
And in doing so, he killed himself.
Yeah, because he killed me, but when your car is totaled, you do some movement, and I rammed in his side and did enough damage by ramming him with my wrecked car to blow him up.
Oh, you see, I thought it was something to do with his dropping Molotov cocktails on you.
I figured
he thought he was playing War Machine still and playing a Signar where he could just shoot himself and rely on the bouncing lightning to kill everything else around him.
No, he just killed me fair and square. But by killing me in the position he was right in my way to ram
right into him
with the wreck. And that did enough damage because I was going fast at that point to kill him, and I rolled like maximum damage on my damage roll or something like that, and he wasn't able to survive.
Well, I think he only had one health point left anyway, didn't he?
It didn't matter. I did like 5 or 6.
So. Yeah. So but anything done would have killed them, I think. So it's super beer and pretzels game. Lots of fun. Minimal investment for miniatures because you play with matchbox cars, and then guns you find in your bits box, you glue them to the matchbox cars, away you go. A little bit of slop and go paint job, because you could spend a lot of time painting some gorgeous cars, but it doesn't really matter because
you're gonna want to ram them into scratch your paint job. So
yeah, it's Mad Maxy, right? So and so it's a really good deal. I think the book is about $20 Canadian on Amazon.
Yeah, something like that.
And I think the Kindle version was 9 or 8 when I bought it. So it's hard to go wrong.
Yeah. And after that, you need maybe from 2 to 5 cars, depending on the type of vehicles you pick up.
Yeah.
And
that's it.
And those borrow some from your kids.
$1 to $2. Yeah. And you can get in the toy box of your kids.
I think the fact that we were playing with the Disney Cars or the Pixar. Pixar?
Yes.
The Cars movie stuff, the Lightning McQueen or whatever, that just completed the look for me. It was so ridiculous looking.
It fit.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, simple games sometimes can be the best. And I think Osprey's really hit it out of the park with this.
Yeah. The book itself is not that easy to read. The movement part is a pain to read through because it's super technical. The rest of the book is fine. Yeah.
Yeah. It uses templates in a similar way to X-Wing. Yeah. I will say, though, that if it wasn't the fact that I could 3D print all the templates for us, the game would have been a lot more annoying. Because we would have had to play with like paper templates or bought these super expensive acrylic ones that people offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we would have had to either be cardboard because just paper. There's too many of them and they're too long to just use paper. So yeah, it would have been complicated. The 3D ones you printed were a lifesaver.
Yeah, so that's the only downside I really see.
Yeah, but then the cost of the game is so low.
Worst case...
You invest in a good type of cardboard and do it yourself, or just invest in the good templates?
Yeah, well, the acrylic templates were like 35 euros or something, right?
Something like that, but it's not just a template. You get everything at that
price. You get all the tokens and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you get the dice, too.
Wow, D6s, but...
But you need the 5 special dice. Sure, you can replace them with D6, but just remembering which symbols are what and would be a pain.
That's true. I forgot the special dice.
Yeah, for your attacks, that doesn't matter, but for the shift dice that you roll for your handling, those would be a bit complicated to proxy with regular D6s.
Yeah. So any players of Gaslands who listen to the show and live in Montreal... send me a ping on Facebook, and I'll if you need a set of templates, I'll hook you up for a super reasonable low price of materials. Because we got to grow the community, because it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
So, yeah, and that's it. That's all I've played, because I suck. So, Antoine, what about you?
Like last month, it was mostly sculpting. So I finished the cartoon koala that I started back in November, maybe? November or December, I don't remember. But it's done. I'm really not as happy with him as I was with the platypus or the unicorn, but he's done. So that's what I want. I want to finish pieces instead of leaving them half done on the table. So there was this one. I did a custom ball for the Canadian Guildball Championships that are coming up in June and August, the East and West one. So that's a little curling ball on a base.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really casting those right now, and I even painted stone. One. I said curling ball.
It's not a ball.
I did a curling stone for the custom ball. This will be given as a gift to every player that participate in one of the 2 championships. So I'm casting those in resin right now. I'm about halfway through casting, I think, something like that.
Yeah, nice. You painted one as well.
Yeah, I painted one in the... I was going to paint it in my butcher's colors, but Steve mentioned that it's a Canadian thing. So I painted it with the super bright red with a maple leaf on it. So to promote the Canadian tournament. So that was done. And the rest, I advanced some other pieces, like my Dwarf Guardian is about halfway done now. I just have the main body is done, but I still have the weapons to do, his giant tower shield and the cloak. So overall, it looks advanced, but there's probably at least another 50% of work to do on it. So that's not much. And a couple of conversions. I did convert a rock for the Trollbloods, for War Machine and Ords, for my buddy Francois.
Good thing you specified, because yeah. Converted the... I mean...
A rock. Rock is a character troll in the game.
Well, I mean, if anyone could convert a plain rock into something, it would be Antoine.
Antoine would be able to do it.
Well, I sculpted a rock icon for 80% G recently, so that would have fit. And the other small conversion I did was I really, really don't like Truffles models for the Butchers, for Gilball. But I proceeded with, well, I didn't proxy it. I used it the main body blue tacked on a base in a game recently to try it out. And the model didn't bug me that much. And I realized that I didn't have glued the two horns it has on its front. And without the horns, it doesn't look that bad. So I just scrape was there to attach the horn and green stuffed it. And it's a lot more passable. Still doesn't look really good. But the piece I like the least out of my old faction. But at least it doesn't look weird now with the tusk in front.
Yeah, I think it looks better without the tusk. I'm right there with you. I think your conversion of it looks a lot better.
And what did I do?
No matter what John says.
Yeah. The only other thing I've been doing is I'm slowly working on TZ Foam, which is a model for Gangs of Rome. So for the paint all the minis, they have a monthly painting challenge. And that was done in collaboration with War Banner, I think. Is the name of the company that runs Gangs of Rome. And they were supplying the models for the painting competition. We only had to pay for the shipping.
Okay.
So it's just a monthly challenge. So I'm working on her. Still have about a week left. I probably 50% done. That's what I'm working right now as we speak on the show. I'm slowly bending the robes. And that's it for hobby. Not much. Oh, well. For useful hobby, the rest was casting. I probably casted since last show around 80 pieces.
How many unicorns?
Yeah, I'm at 40 unicorns, a bit over 40 casted. I need to cast 55 in total. I hope my two molds will survive enough until then. And I'm officially stepping. I'm right now. I won't take any more orders because I don't have more silicones. I used it all, and I kind of don't want to cast more. That's enough. More time I can do other stuff and sculpt new miniatures instead of going again just casting that one. So I cast that. I cast a terrain piece for the championship. I casted models for Guillaume. He had me the stone icon I mentioned. I casted another 5 or 6 for him. And the curling stones. I casted 40 something of those already. So,
ugh. How many molds do you have for that?
The curling stone, I'm at 4. One has been officially retired today, and I made 2 new ones. So 4 total. A mold is good for about 15 to 25 pieces. So I should be okay with about 80 for the turn. Hopefully for the everything we need. We have a hard max of 32 players here for the 8th Canadian Championship, but I don't know the max for the West.
Mm.
And I hope it's not too high.
Yeah, I hope it's going well over there.
But theirs is 2 months further up than us, so I think they just started taking leaking out information and registration, so they still have a lot more time. And we still have 2 months, and they have 2 more than that. So
Yeah, there's in August and yours is in June, right?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, beginning of June, and I think there is mid to late August, so they have time for
it's
that.
It's around the 18th of August.
So mid-August. So hopefully they'll be fine. And they have a strong community in the West, so I'm sure they'll be good to get to their 30 players required for the full price package. By the way, we are at 23 right now, so we're only missing 7 players to get the full price that includes the flight and the hotel for SteamCon UK and the ticket for the World Championship.
Oh, it's SteamCon UK.
Yes.
I thought it was a USA thing you did.
No. The USA is only in the US, the qualifiers. We have a world qualifier.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yes.
That's pretty
and
cool.
That's about it. Steve?
That means you're up, Steve.
I missed the cue, right?
are you awake, Steve?
Yeah, I'm there. I know
Granddaddy Steve, it's past your bedtime, but...
Usually I'm up late, but this morning we got woken up at 4 a.m. by rampaging cats on us in the bedroom. And they decided to play until 5 or so, so couldn't get to sleep. So yeah, that's why I'm a bit, yeah. But I'm still going on, so... As for hobby, I did a bit of Guild Ball. I've retouched some of my hunters before going to Adepticon with them. And also I did a bit of War Machine assembling a couple of Frightmares and a couple of Murder Crows. And also I kind of hobby related. I did the banner and the backdrop for the display for the 40K team tournament for Adepticon.
That's cool.
Yep. So that's pretty much for hobby. And gaming wise, well, there was Adepticon and also a couple of games of Guild Ball before going to Adepticon. And one game.
And after.
And after. Well, after only one against you.
Yeah, that's true.
I just want to take this moment to point out again that I went to Adepticon and played 0 games. Like, I suck so bad, I can't even, like, comprehend how bad I suck at this gaming thing.
Okay, carry on. You played more game at Captain Con, which is less time, than at Adepticon with one full more day to go.
Yeah, actually, even Captain Con, I played against you and Yom, and then I got one random game in.
You got I'll some honest, demos, too. And
Yeah. I couldn't even find the Iron Arena stuff for Privateer Press at Depticon. I suck.
And that's pretty much. So.
So I'll jump in before we close the OB segment, because... I just mentioned what I had finished. I just realized. So I assembled a bunch of new models for my minions, but they're just assembled now. So hopefully they'll be painted for the tech in 2 months. Yeah, that's enough of painting for me in 2 months. We'll see. But most of those are the new pieces from the Gator CID that I'm using as support for my picks, and I passed over my games too. So Gaslyn, who I mentioned, I also played Gaslyn with Theodore, my son, to try it. And staying on the team of cars, we played a bunch of games of pitch cars one weekend. He was going crazy about building new tracks. The one game of Guild Ball with Thief, as he mentioned. And the other thing is I tried Warhammer Underworld Shadespire. Once.
And that was enough.
Yeah, that was enough. I should try it again, but it was not for me. I can see why some people might like it, but the big setter in it, like the cards and the fast play, were turn off mostly for me. So
yeah, I was disappointed to find out you had to buy multiple different factions to get the cards you need to build decks.
Yeah.
Because that didn't
offensive in a slight way with the X-Wing, that stuff with all the
And it was cards. Just funny, because when we did the sneak preview at Adepticon last year, they said they were intentionally not going to do it that way, because they'd learned, you know, from Fantasy Flight's mistakes.
Yeah. And then it seems money is better than common sense.
Yeah. I suppose so.
So that was my full hobby in gaming.
Okay. So I guess that ends the first segment. So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more about Adepticon. So we'll be right back, geeks. And we're back. Alrighty. Adepticon 2018.
Oh, yeah.
So we were insane and we drove. Steve went with his 40K teammates.
Yeah.
Drove on down to Chicago. I went with my buddy Ben. I went the long way with my buddy Ben. It was it was quite the drive, especially when you take an extra 3 hours because you misread the map or miscalculated distance.
Wait, because it's funny. You left like on the Thursday evening, something like that. Thursday around noon.
Tuesday. We left at Tuesday 2 p.m.
And
we stopped.
You arrive what? Just a couple of hours before us on the Wednesday.
But we also stopped and slept the night. And
I know.
We hit a snowstorm. There was like a blizzard and stuff. We drove through, so that took extra time. But yeah, we stopped somewhere around Erie. At around midnight, or maybe it was a bit later, I don't remember. And then we started the next morning, 9-ish, 10-ish, something. We had breakfast, then we went off. We got there in the early afternoon. We hit traffic, like crazy traffic in Chicago. There was like giant accidents and stuff, so we routed around it.
Yeah, on D-80.
But it still took a lot of time. Yeah, I think we got there at 2:30, 3 o'clock, something.
Yeah.
And then you showed up at 6 or whatever. So yeah, only made it a few hours ahead. There you have it. So Adepticon. I really went, I had no intention of really playing games down there. I brought models to kind of putz around with and play like some open gaming stuff. Which didn't end up being as easy as I'd hoped. Well, so a couple things. I was super exhausted most of the time I was there. So by like 10 o'clock at night, I was like dead on my feet, even though I hadn't done anything all day.
And you talked.
Yeah, I talked. Big deal.
But you talk a lot, so it must be tiring.
Yeah, exactly. It's exhausting. Because I never shut up. Didn't get as much done as I'd hoped, and I'd really gone down to spend a lot of time with my my painter friends, and even that was kind of a fail because everyone was so busy that I didn't really get to see most of the people I know that much. I spent a lot of time, or a fair amount of time, with Jim and Kathy Wapple, but the open painting area where I usually sit down and just kind of hang out all day was packed. You know, the open hobby area has become such a popular thing. And I'm just going to throw this out there. Some people have zero class at this thing. So, you know, I get that Jim spreads out and takes a whole table to himself because he's Jim Wapple and he's got 300 miniatures he wants to show you and 45 different painting techniques and, you know, cameras and all kinds of lights and, you know.
Well, it's his place. It's called Fort Wapple.
Yeah, exactly. But that's exactly it, right? That's his spot. But then some guy comes in with like 36 boxes of 40K that he has to assemble the next day for a tournament and paint it. And he's taking up a whole table by himself with a giant suitcase on the floor with 400 jars of GW paint. And it was, And it was okay until he started singing like 50s and 60s songs. Because he like put his phone on speaker and was playing like rock classics and stuff and singing while painting. To the point where eventually staff asked him to stop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like event staff were like, yeah, we're getting complaints about you. Can you please stop? Wow. You pick up your stuff, and can you please stop singing? Which nearly made me choke, because it was hilarious. And I swear I wasn't the guy that complained.
No, so, because you don't complain to others. You go talk to the person straight in his face. So.
And it was kind of funny, because I was kind of at that point. Ben was sitting next to me at the time, and I was kind of looking at him, and I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can take this without being rude. And I tried. It's an event. It's a vacation. You know, I'm trying to be relaxed. I don't want to be a douche to anyone for no real good reason. But there's limits. But yeah, and this guy got so annoyed that he was told to stop. And he's like mumbling to himself, I don't see, I'm not bothering anyone. Am I bothering anyone? No one said anything. I'm not bothering anybody. Okay, guy. But yeah, so all I have to say, it was kind of tough to get a seat around the table because everyone was trying to do last minute stuff, and a lot of people were working on crystal brush entries. You know, typical painters. It's less than 12 hours till the entry deadline. I better start working on that model that I've had for 6 months and haven't finished yet.
Oh, start working on it,
or I'll finish working on it. I'm being. You know,
okay.
It was pretty epic, the amount of last-minute crystal brush entry fixes I saw. Or you know, I got to finish the paint job. Fixes from transport, I can understand.
Yeah.
But it was overall a good experience. It's always nice to see people. You only get to see them once a year. And it surprised a bunch of people that I showed up. It surprised even more that I drove. And it was nice having a car, because it meant if I could bring my airbrush and all that stuff. So if I saw something and I felt like airbrushing a model back in the hotel room or whatever, I could do it. So that was kind of neat.
And having a car is nice because if you want to go out for a dog at Portillo's, you take your car and you go out for a dog. Yeah.
When Dallas Kemp needs the chocolate cake shake, you can give him a lift.
Well, the shake was good.
And now we're tight. Okay, we're not really tight, but he may kind of know my name, possibly.
You're the shake guy.
Of the shake. I'm the fat Canadian that drove him to the shake, yeah. But didn't have one. Oddly enough, the fat Canadian didn't have a milkshake. So. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about
Portillo's?
Oh, no, Portillo's deserves its own show. We're going to have our own dedicated 2-hour Portillo's show. So, I'm telling you.
Hot Dogs of the North or something like that?
Yeah. LaBelle's got nothing on this place. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah, Portillo's, great hot dog joint. It's kind of creepy. The people they have working at the counter sometimes, they're a little strange, but it's okay. The food was good. Before we get into your game, Steve, because you played a lot of games, let's maybe talk a bit about the vendor hall. Did you get a chance to look at the vendor hall?
I had a chance to walk the vendor hall. Was on the Saturday, I think I met you there or something like that. But I didn't have that much time to wander this year.
Yeah, you had lots of tournaments going on.
Yeah, and my games were really close, all ending with the kind of global clock. So I didn't have much time between games to either go back to the room, eat a sandwich, or browse and shop. So
yeah. What did you think? What was your impression?
Well, boots were not at the same place as last year.
that's
what
true.
I've noticed. No, but Secret Miniatures usually is always at the same spot, and now it was not. So I was having a hard time finding boots from last year. But is it me or it was a bit smaller?
Actually, I was going to say I think it's a bit bigger.
Oh, okay.
I think they, or rather, I don't think in terms of floor space it's any smaller or bigger, because it's dedicated to that one room. But I think in terms of how many resellers were there, I think it's larger.
Well, it did fill up more at the back, near the back wall of the room.
Yeah. Yeah, it went farther. It went deeper.
Yeah.
And I think overall there was more people there selling goods. There were some people I missed that I noticed weren't there, like Bombshell Miniatures, which sucks. I had money put aside to buy some stuff from Patrick, and he wasn't there. So I guess I'll just have to buy it from his web store. Yeah, it was kind of neat. I found there was a lot more demoing going on than previous years, or at least I seemed to see a lot more.
Fantasy Flight Game had two tables of Star Wars Legion at their booth for demos. Yeah. And the both time I went to like just walk the vendor halls, it was full all the time.
You could not get, and there was tons of Legion stuff on sale at the show.
Yeah.
And it was flying off the shelves. So that was the big release, I think, at Adepticon, was Legions.
Yeah, there was a big tournament as well in the Star Wars part of the hall.
That's funny. You have a tournament the weekend the product launches.
Yeah. I saw people playing on the... When was it? Saturday night? I was waiting for a pizza while the 40K display was on display for the cut and for the judges and everything, and people were playing on the table of the lobby. They were playing a game of Star Wars Legion there.
Nice.
It was spreading.
Well, I mean, people have been waiting for this game for a long time, and I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about the miniatures. One of the guys that was painting stuff for the Fantasy Flight demo tables was talking about how there was a lot of cleanup on the models to do. But his were early, you know, pre-release stuff, so maybe things changed. Because other people I've spoken to who bought the models at release say they were fine. There was almost no cleanup. So I don't really know in the end what the actual status is. Maybe I'll have to buy some to find out. Why are you laughing, Steve?
Well, I'm surprised you didn't buy it yet. That's why I'm laughing.
It's not really my thing, right? It's not... it doesn't have a real hobby. Well, I guess I could paint stuff, but it's not the same. I don't know. I'm not big on games based on well-known IPs. I find it doesn't let your imagination run wild because you kind of already know what happens. It's like historicals, right? Like, you know what happens, so... I wouldn't play Titanic the game either. I thought that the vendor hall had a lot of interesting stuff in it. Obviously, the Legion table was huge.
Reaper booth looked a bit bigger this year, or maybe it's the way they were arranged.
I think it's the way it was arranged.
Because it looked bigger than last
year. Some secret gems. There was one booth selling the bus from... Oh, goodness.
Blackheart miniature?
Or no, Broken Toad. They had the angel, the Sultan Angel bust, and like a bunch of... And I was actually surprised how inexpensive those are for their detail level. They ranged in price from about 32 US, I think it was about 50 US. So, I mean, they're small, but they're quite nice. There was these crazy busts. If you have a kind of a... If you're a movie buff, there was a gentleman selling movie busts from like monster movies, like classic monster movies, Nosferatu and like the black creature from the Black Lagoon or whatever. And that's the one I think you were talking about, Antoine, wasn't it?
Yeah, Blackheart.
I think it's Blackheart. That's the name. Yeah, this is gonna drive me nuts. I think it's him. Yeah.
Yes,
that's exactly this. Yeah, so Blackheart, and it's...
Aren't they crazy cheap?
They are amazingly cheap. $20 US for a bust, and it's a big bust. I could not get over it, and they're really nicely done, and they come with a plinth, and the owner, whose name I think is George, super nice guy. If I'm not mistaken, he's a judge. And on the side, he has a miniature, you know, sculpting bust company thing. And he calls them micro busts, because what he does actually are like one-to-one busts. That's his main business, I think. And for the painters, I definitely need like these little micro busts, as he calls them, and they're about the size of the palm of your hand, so they're a good size bust still, and at $20 US, It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. And there's the, like I said, there's the movie monsters. And then he's launched a line of, I think, 55 millimeter or 54 millimeter movie monster, like whole models, the Frankensteins and whatever. And then he's got a few historical busts. Genghis Khan. I am terrible. I can't remember anything tonight. Jeez. My God.
Caesar, yeah, Napoleon, I don't know.
No. A Native American. Famous Native American. Geronimo, maybe?
Yeah, could be.
I sound like an idiot. Hold on. I'm just going to look this up because I'm mangling this poor guy's
Maybe the guy from product. The Blackhawks logo? Chicago Blackhawks?
No.
Or the Redskin from the football team? Well, they're famous Native Hold American.
On. Hold on. So the busts are called Micromania busts. That's his thing. And he's also got Cthulhu. If you want a Micromania Cthulhu, you can get that. I picked up the Unnameable, which is kind of like a demon-looking guy. It was pretty cool. Geronimo, Hannibal of Carthage, and Genghis Khan. And Vlad the Impaler. That's right. And then there's some others that I didn't see at the time that maybe he didn't have. He just launched some female busts. Vampyra, Lily Munster, and Morticia. All the Adams family and the associated style.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And, they were really, really nice. Just really, really well detailed. Such a good price. And if you ever want to start doing busts, we're afraid of the price point because it's a lot of busts. $50, $60, $80 to invest to try. Like, at $20, you can't go wrong. Cannot go wrong. Anyway, so that was like my secret gem of the show. I thought that was fantastic. Was there anything else that really stood out? I mean, it was always nice talking. We talked to Walker at Red Republic, the makers of Arena Rex. That's always cool. Spend some time talking to Nigel over at Muse on Minis. They were selling Judgment. I'd never seen the models in person. Wow. Totally fell in love with the models for that game. I don't know anything about the game, but the models were beautiful. So, yeah. Overall, a good time at the vendor hall. Spent a little more than I wanted, but not as much as I feared I would.
You run errands for me, too.
Oh, yeah, I delivered miniatures. I delivered unicorns to all the land. your little stuffed unicorn, I delivered one to Tom Anders, I believe his family name is Anders, yeah, mm-hmm. at Impact Miniatures. And I delivered one to Tom Mason, who is a sculptor, who did some awesome little goblins that I picked up.
Yes.
Those were pretty amazing, too. I forgot about them. Yeah, I'm going to have fun with those. And who else did I get one to? Oh, I dropped one off with Mark Maxey for Yeji Kim. Mark's actually one I got some off you for Mark, Liz Beckley, and I gave one to Michelle Blastenbray.
And one and for
Kathy Waffle. Yep. And then one to some random girl who was obsessed with unicorns that I stumbled across completely by accident, but she was so excited about that unicorn miniature that I had to give her one because she was walking around wearing an I'm a Unicorn shirt. Unicorns were her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, for me, the good thing that I didn't spend much time in the vendor hall, I didn't make any purchases, so.
Yeah, well, you were locked in the tournament rooms.
Yeah, exactly, so that's a good thing.
But, I thought things went well, like registration and stuff went quickly, going back a little bit here. The organization, I think, is so streamlined there now.
Yeah, it's so tight. They're used to it and everything, so.
I mean, the lineup at 7 a.m. when registration opened was insane. So we went away, got supper, came back, 10 minutes in and out. Picked up my swag bag. Some cool stuff in the swag bag. Actually, maybe we should talk about the swag bags. Maybe we should have structured the show, wrote stuff down before we started recording.
That's okay. It's ad-lib.
Apparently. So, Steve, you got the VIP swag, didn't you?
Yeah, the VIG. And I found that this year, compared to last year, there wasn't that much difference from the regular one.
Oh, well, let's talk about yours, because I'll just mention stuff that I didn't get.
Well, I got two miniature for God tier, and regular swag got one. Got lots of random miniature. I got a token from Broken Egg for counting wounds and stuff like that, with the Adepticon skull logo on it.
From Broken Egg or from Muse? Is it a dial?
It's a dial.
I think that's Muse.
No, it's Broken Egg.
Okay, it used to be Muse. Maybe this year's Broken Egg.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
well, I got the kickoff, which you got too. Yep. And then we got the email for the second day to get back for the...
the two-player starter for Dark Age.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And got the Privateer Press book.
Which one did you get? I got the Legion of Everblight book.
Kador. So if you want it, I'll give it to you.
Oh, buddy, I love you. I'll trade you something worth it for the book.
Oh, it's okay. And a couple of coupons, like discount at Boots and stuff like that.
Yeah. There was a pretty cool model from Victoria Lamb in there, too. Like a female winter guardsman.
Yeah.
And she was like the unit captain. And she was so cool that Ben actually went out and bought the unit from Reaper.
We got the... Reaper
was selling their stuff.
The Space Marine Sergeant as well.
Oh, yeah. That's right. The 30th anniversary Primaris Special Edition Marine.
Yep.
Yep. And that's cool because that's like a... I mean, it's GW, so it's way overpriced, but I think it's like a $40 value or something right there.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And we also got the Forge World Calendar.
Yeah. I wanted to put it up in our bedroom, but Susie didn't want, so it's going to be hanging in the basement.
Oh. Some women just don't understand.
Yeah. It's okay. It's going to be in the basement next time you come for a game.
Yeah, we got some Guild Ball on soon.
Someday.
Yes, I said that. Yes, Steve, I actually said that. I've had an urge to play the last week or so.
Less surprising from you than it would be from you.
Yeah.
But still.
No, I... Yeah, that's a story for another podcast.
And what else did we get in the swag bag? Oh, we got the tray, the foam tray.
Oh, yeah. Did yours separate instantly?
No.
Mine, the bottom came off like 30 seconds in.
Mine's still good.
Yeah, no, I was looking, I'm like, hey, I wonder if this bottom's attached really well. And I literally poked it with my finger and it fell 3/4 off.
Okay.
It was the funniest thing ever. It made me think of like the old, you know, like sometimes you'd buy a tray from Sable and the bottom wasn't glued on at all. It was basically that. Like the glue didn't apply.
I got the pub glass and a t-shirt as well.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, I think those trays actually, they're from Game Plus, I think it is. And I think they're rounded corners, so they're a bit different shape, but I think they're the same width and length as a Sable foam. So I think you can put them in your Sable bag if you have one.
Which I don't.
You don't? I didn't think there was a gamer alive in Montreal in our age group that did not have at least one Sable bag.
No, I only have a Battle Foams bag.
Oh, wow.
Usually I buy a couple of foam or something like that at their boot, but and you mentioned the sweet deal with the cardboard box with the tray inside, because I wanted a tray to rearrange a Guild Ball and everything, and I didn't have time to go and look around. So yeah,
I mentioned the sweet deal,
the cardboard that comes with three foam that's cheaper than buying the foam separately.
The D-Box from Battle Foam. Sorry. I had no idea what you were talking about for a second. Yeah, the little D-Box. I actually bought another one this year. That's the third one I bought. Because it's the half-size foams are so good because they're sized for the Privateer Press packs, which is what I use most of the time. So, they're great.
And I think that's it for the swag.
Yeah, overall, I felt the swag was... Well, I mean, especially for me, I paid $25, right? So I certainly got my value at it. The Primaris Marine alone is worth more than the swag bag was. Everything else is a bonus.
Exactly.
And the, I mean, kickoff, I don't know what I'll do. Maybe I can give it to someone and introduce someone else to the game. The Dark Age starter, apparently Dark Age is a really, really good game with a really tight rule set.
I might open it and look at it.
Yeah.
We've mentioned multiple times wanting to try it, so that might be a good occasion to do it.
Yeah, and now we've got two sets of the rule book. Maybe Steve and I can switch the opposite, like trade halves of boxes with each other, so that one of it, you know, end up with a slightly bigger force. I don't know if that'd be a useful force, but it'd be at least bigger, more regular game size.
More models.
Well, like I said, maybe more regular game sized. So, because a lot of these games, it's like, I mean, and I don't know if this is the case with Dark Age, but if you look at War Machine and you play it with, you know, a battle group size, and then you play a full game, the game is completely different, right? It doesn't play the same at all. The rules are the same, but you don't get the same experience.
Yeah, well, it's meant to just show you the game, then you explore and buy the faction you like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right. Do you want me to talk about my gaming experience at the
Tekka? Yeah, you go talk about tournaments.
Well, actually, first thing, when I enter the hotel, the first person I see is Brendan Palmer from GMM Studio.
That's
every
right.
year, I feel it's a tradition because that's the first person I see every year for the last 4 years. For that I've went to Adepticon, it's always the first person I meet when I enter the con. So it's kind of reassuring, familiar face and everything. So
he's a super cool guy.
Yeah,
he's a little different. I think most artists are a little different.
Well, he's an artist in the true form.
Yeah, yeah. But he does some amazing work, and he's super fun to talk to, and he's got he's not pretentious at all. Like, I know a lot of the painters, and some of them can be a little bit aloof. I think sometimes they forget they're miniature painters and not Van Gogh.
So, on the Thursday, I had the Gilball tournament. This one was a smaller one. It was, we played 4 rounds. It was 16 player or something like that. It was smaller than the Friday one. And I played with my hunters and I finished 2-2. So that's not too bad. And also I won best painted with my hunters. So I was pretty happy about that.
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much. And then Thursday we went for Portillo's, or it's Friday we went for Portillo's? I don't remember. I think it's Friday.
I went to Portillo's with you?
Yeah, with Ben.
That was the night I had the milkshake that I said wasn't a drink.
Yeah, exactly. That you had to work for it.
I gave myself a hernia trying to drink.
And on Friday, I had another Guild Ball tournament. This time it was 5 games. We were 32, something like that.
That would make sense.
And it was a pretty good experience as well. I finished 2-3, but I had fun and really liked my experience. And also, I almost played a pickup game against Ben on that night, but he changed his mind and decided to paint after we went to Portillo's. And then Saturday and Sunday were the big 40K team tournament. And with only, 5 games of 8 edition under my belt, I went and compete in one of the biggest North American event for 40K.
And how'd you do?
Well, actually, the team, we did pretty well. I mean, out of the 10 games total, we had 8 victory, 1 loss, and 1 draw. So that's pretty good. And the only loss was when I played with the other inexperienced player, because there was nobody to pick up our mistakes and clean up. So we lost that game. But in retrospect, we didn't know really. When we talked with the others, what we could have done, they said, well, with the army we had and everything, it was hard to do something. But there are a couple of things, like a couple of gotchas, like we didn't know all the rules, so they kind of like took advantage of it. Like, but we asked questions, but they didn't tell us all the details when we asked. So, like, we could have asked further questions to have more details,
and more insight into
what. Yeah, they're doing. Exactly. Yeah. So, but it's okay. We learned and we had fun, and the army made the cut for the display in the presentation. Out of the 20 army selected, there were 4 Canadian teams this year.
That's pretty impressive. But yeah. We always seem to do pretty well with that.
Yeah. So it was pretty pretty nice. And in the end, the team won best team in presentation, and got the perfect score for painting and team, and also the unanimous vote from the guest judges. And all the players gave us the maximum scoring for team and presentation as well. So it couldn't have been a higher note for painting. And also,
I like how you keep specifying for painting. We're not. How was your sportsmanship scores? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
I'm just kidding, Steve.
But we finished 7 points behind the first place overall. So
that's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all. We finished third overall. So pretty good for a team composed of 2 good players and 2 guys who almost never played 40K.
Two guys who like to roll dice.
Yeah. Exactly. But actually, Vince followed my suggestion a couple of times on the Sunday, because I was having like crazy. Well, you know, Paul, I often have like crazy long shot ideas, like you do that, and it's gonna be awesome, but most of the time it fails. But I had those crazy ideas, and Vince was there to tone them down. And he made them work by adjusting. Well,
that's what we have to do with you, Steve.
Exactly.
It was like in Guild Ball, right? When you're like trying to do stuff, and I have to be like, well, Steve, do you know what the odds of that succeeding are? Let's do the math. Let's break it down. And you're like, oh, okay.
It's okay.
Fine.
So he was there to to tone down things. And it was a pretty fun event. I had fun.
Well, sometimes you just have to go for the long shots too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we met one of our games on the Saturday. There was a former fantasy tournament player. He used to go to ATC and everything for Warhammer Fantasy, and he switched to 40K, but he was still mourning fantasy.
I think we all are, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever going to go away.
I don't think so.
Just like, you know, when your parents die, you never stop loving them. It's the same idea.
So
yeah. Exact same thing.
Exact same thing. but for me, I had a blast at Apticon. I played lots of games and met a couple of people. And even I didn't have time to meet all the people I wanted to go and like the people I only see at Con. I only got like 2 minutes with Domus, barely met Alex Gonzalez, the guy running the AOS event.
Yeah, the organizer, yeah.
Yeah, I just managed to say hi, and he was busy like going for judging and stuff like that. Domus was in the middle of round, so we couldn't talk. So, yeah, it was too much.
Is Alex still doing Garage Hammer? Do you know?
I think so.
I haven't listened for a long time, so I wasn't sure.
I think he's still doing it. And I didn't spot Relian World Brad Schwantz. I didn't see him this year, so I missed a couple of people that I usually see. And Brandon, I only saw him when I came into the con. I went to his booth two times, and well, obviously he wasn't as his boot, and I didn't see him again during the weekend. Yeah.
He kept looking for you. He kept finding me at the Fort Wapple and being like, where's Steve? Like, well, he's around. And he's in tournaments and stuff, but he's here.
I'm gaming.
Did you see the Skull Bros?
No.
Yeah, I didn't see Rotor. Actually, I don't usually see Rotor. I hear Rotor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't...
I saw... I barely saw Andrew Atkins, who was playing Batman Miniature.
Oh, that's right.
He was there.
Our buddy from Ontario.
Yeah. Well, because Batman was in the same hall as Guild Ball and the board game gaming section as well, where AOS was last year.
Wasn't...
And the streaming table...
Bold Action? Bold Action was there too, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And the streaming table from Warhammer Community was there as well.
Right.
Because AOS was in the same hall as the vendor hall, and they were at the same place as the on the same side as the X-Wing going on. AOS was really huge this year. I think registered was 160 something.
That's so crazy.
And showing was around 120, something like that.
I mean, I don't understand it, but if people have fun playing the game, it's all that matters, right?
Yeah,
it's not for me, but obviously it's for a lot of people. So I'm glad to see it's successful.
And the double was really full as well. So they're doing well, and they're hoping to go to 200 people next year.
Well, you had 160 registered, and how many showed up?
120 or something like that.
Seems kind of premature to go to 200 when.
Well,
but anyway, it's still a big chunk of people, right?
Yeah, odds are they will be able to have that many registered. But there's always drop even for people who
for trade. Sure.
So,
and then there's like the first round drops of people who lose the first round or whatever,
second
round, and decided to, you know, if I can't go to the end table, there's no point in continuing.
It was 24 people on the Thursday for Guild Ball, and nobody dropped.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's rare, actually. That's pretty much it for my Adepticon. And then we drove back on the Monday morning, leaving Chicago at 3 a.m. We didn't get any traffic. Oh, it was pretty good.
Yeah. We left on the Sunday around lunchtime, and we made it back to Montreal around midnight. Or maybe it was even before lunchtime.
You left around 9, 10, something like that.
That's right. Sorry. I was thinking I went to the hall that day, but I didn't. That's right. We left in the morning. Yeah, we left at like 10 a.m. 9 a.m. our time. 8 a.m. their time. Or maybe it was 9 to 10. I don't remember. Anyway, we left early. That's right. And then with stops and stuff, it was like a 15-hour drive. Yay.
Wasn't that bad, actually, the drive I found.
Yeah, how much of it did you do?
For coming back, we split half and half, Vince and me.
Yeah. So I did the majority of the trip back. Ben actually took over after dinner, but then after a few hours, he was done. He found it really hard to drive at night. Mm. So I got back in the driver's seat, and then I finished up the drive.
Yeah, I drove from just before around London, from London to Montreal on our way back, because Vince and Dom had more driving to do after that. So
yeah, they had to go to Quebec City, right?
So. Yeah, Dom was going to Quebec City and Vince was going back to Sherbrooke. So that's why I did the last part, so they could at least rest a bit and be up and running for their last stretch.
Yeah, for the 2-hour stretch.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know how far it is to Quebec City. I know Sherbrooke's about 2 hours.
Yeah, Quebec City is 2.5.
Yeah, it's brutal. Makes for a long day in the car.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had a good time, though. The, my, We noticed that the Canadian border crossing guard was a lot more understanding of why we'd gone to the States than the American crossing guard when we went down. Oh. It was like, why are you going there? Like, oh, it's a miniatures tournament, wargaming. Is that like video games? I'm like, well, no, it's kind of like a strategic board game, but with miniatures that we assemble and paint. Are you serious?
Yeah, we just say toy soldiers when we are at the border. It's easier.
The woman had such contempt for it. It was, I almost had to laugh at her because it was, you know, that would have been bad because she was super serious. But it was like, it was so plain to see the amount of contempt she held us in because we were two, you know, 40 something year old men going to play with toys.
Exactly.
Driving 15 hours to do so. Yeah, it was pretty harsh. The guy on the way back was like, did you win? I'm like, no, sorry. He's like, coming back in shame then. Like, I guess. Yeah. I didn't want to tell him. I didn't even take my miniatures out of the bag, man. Like, yeah, no, it was, you know, the experience overall, the drive wasn't that bad. I would do it again. I think I need to find some way since the painting just doesn't seem to work out anymore. Last year was kind of the same thing. I didn't get to paint as much as I wanted. I may actually have to go there and start planning to play in tournaments or something. Yay. To fill my time with. Yeah, but I don't think I'll be in the same tournaments you're in, Steve.
At least do one event, maybe. Plan one event.
Well, there's... honestly, yeah. There's the 40K friendly that people are raving about.
The 40K friendly is awesome, and I've tried to get into it, but I've never managed to register for it.
Oh, it fills up quickly?
Instantly.
Oh, okay.
Instantly. Like, I think that's one of the events that everyone runs to hammer the buy ticket for.
Okay.
And, you know, that's one of the things that crashes the website. Well, it's a super popular event.
The website crashes every year.
Yeah. The thing is, I just don't know if I have the stamina. Like, I just can't do an 8 a.m. till like 6 p.m. event with no breaks, and I find that super rough.
Go for the smaller events, like the indie games, where they only play three rounds, maybe instead of five or six.
Come to the Guild Ball Championship in June to practice for long tournament, because after that we think we might have the tech as well. So
yeah, well, that's the thing. So the Guild Ball Championships, I would totally go if I didn't have the tech 2 weeks later. I can't really leave my wife with the kids two Saturdays in the middle of summer. I go play with toy soldiers for 12 hours straight or longer. That's kind of brutal. And that's how divorce happens. So. But yeah, indie games are an option, Antoine. I looked at Arena Rex this year, but it was sold out instantly.
Yeah.
There were 32, I think, player for their tournament.
I don't know how many people actually showed in the end, but that's what was registered. It was weird because they didn't have any open play area. Because we went looking, and we actually talked to them, and they're like, no, sorry, we don't have anything. It's like, okay, but you have a full tournament. Like, no tables for open play? Nope. All right. So, it was a little strange.
But you could have just picked up a table anywhere in the other halls and pull up your miniature and play, probably, or?
Yeah, I suppose. We have the mats and stuff, but I think the idea was to look for other people playing the game, you know, because me and Ben don't really know the game, so playing against each other, probably not the best way to learn. Probably better to find someone who knows the game. Anyway, I'll say next year I have to find a better way to use my time, I think. And I usually fill up with painting classes, but this year I decided not to because the painting classes are all so expensive, and our currency is so terrible.
Yeah, that was brutal. That's...
Yeah, that was the other thing. You know, $25, $35, $40 a tournament or whatever.
An exchange rate was 30-ish%, 35%.
Yeah, with the credit card fees and everything, about 35 at the time. Like, it's just painful. You know, because suddenly that $25 entry fee for that tournament is, like, closer to $40. Ouch. Anyway. So that's it. Antoine, anything you want to ask questions about or discuss or...
Nothing specific, because nothing comes to mind. I'm looking forward to maybe going next year. That's been in talk with my wife, especially with all the sculpting I do. I have other friends who went as another friend local, Jean-Virgil from M3 Studio. Mm-hmm. He's doing Risen Terrain mostly for 40K. And he went as a seller. And that's something I might want to do with my miniatures, with the unicorn and other stuff I'm working on. Maybe like renting one tenth of his table space just to have there and have a presence, maybe.
He had problems at the customs.
Sadly, he was refused. Everything he brought for sale was refused. He could pass.
But he couldn't sell anything.
With his presentation stuff, but not with his selling stuff.
Exactly.
So he had a table there. He was able to present his miniatures. He had stuff for people to do orders, but he couldn't sell while at the con, which is too bad. So that's something else I want to talk with him to not have that that happen next year again if we try to tag team and do a combo boot together or something like that. And I would like to play in at least one event and that place like that, like I did at Captain Con. I was able to find people to play all the indie games that I don't play here, get get games of Relic Knights, get games of Pulp City and stuff like that. So pre-plan games with people while there, do one event and probably run the selling table, maybe do some sculpting classes, because I know Tom Mason had three different classes there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm looking forward to going. So I don't really have specific questions because I do keep updated, and the whole weekend I was on my computer and looking at what was happening.
Yeah.
It's more eagerness to go for a first time. Does that, we did Gen Con 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
We've done smaller local cons like Captain Con and Temple Con. But Adepticon is, I think, probably not the mecca, but it's pretty right there for me. I'm mostly a miniature gamer, and I do everything in miniature game. I paint, I sculpt, I hobby, I play. So seems like the spot to be.
Yeah, it's probably a good fit.
So
yeah, no, that'd be cool to have you down. I think Yoma's talking about going too, so I've already cleared it with the wife to drive down with you guys.
Yeah, if we're able to do it by car, it makes the financial commitment a bit lower.
Yeah, it works out to I think we calculated it was about $350 in gas and tolls and everything.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, so about $100 a person, let's say. Actually, it was a bit less than that, because the tolls would be a lot less, so about $300, about $100 a person in gas. So that's really not too bad. And all of Yom's hot air will make the car lighter, so it'll be more fuel efficient. So
yeah, you didn't have had a jab yet. Yeah, so.
There we go.
Yeah. I realized, I was like, oh shoot, I haven't insulted Yom yet. Gotta take care of that. And then we actually found a really good hotel that was right next door. And I think it was about $80 a night.
That's good.
US.
Yeah. For us, it was, at the con, it's $150 per night.
Yeah, and this was literally...
But we were splitting the cost at three, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's just it, right? If we're splitting the cost three ways on $80 a night, it's even better.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I think the we spent about $300 and change on gas and about $480 Canadian on the room after the exchange. And we were there for five nights. So, cheap, cheap, cheap. Right? Tuesday? No. Yeah. You can come to the other room. Yeah, come to the other hotel room. Yeah. So, yeah, it was really affordable. All right. I guess that's about everything for Adepticon. I
think so. That's a wrap.
Yeah. And I think we have a couple of events we want to talk about, though, before we sign off for the night.
Yes. So there's a bunch of upcoming stuff. Usually we don't mention timely events, but might as well. So first one coming in a month, there will be an introduction to sculpting done by Sylvain Quirion from Einar Miniature. He's coming to Canada for a big trip with his girlfriend slash wife, I'm not too sure, under marital status. But he's doing a stop in Montreal, and he will be giving a sculpting class at L'Abyss on May 5th. You will be able to register soon. We're only missing some information with the store to prepare the online payment. But there is already an event that I run. So if you look for Introduction à la sculpture de figurine, or anyway, we'll have a link in the show notes. So look for that. It's $80 for the full day of sculpting tips, and you'll get some material also at the same time for what Sylvain will be showing. After that, next up, we have what we already mentioned, the East Canadian Guild Ball Championship. That is a qualifier for the world. It's on June 2nd.
Yeah.
We still have 9 spots left. If 7 of those fills up, we do register for the big prize support that includes the airfare and the hotel. So that's nice. It's 5 rounds of Guild Ball. There's people from everywhere already registered. We have people from
Alberta,
Toronto, Ottawa, Nova Scotia, and I think we have somebody from Chicago.
Yeah, a couple of guys from the United States as well. So.
So
what happens if they come up and win the East Canadian qualifier?
Oh, it's the same. They get the travel and everything. That's all. It's probably better for Steam 14 anyway, because it's probably cost less to fly them to the UK than us.
Fair enough.
If you want, Paul, we can have a shot at the West Canadian one in Calgary mid-August, if you want.
Yeah, sure. I'll get right on that, Steve.
Yeah. And the last event we meant to mention is back in episode 40, we talked about running Color Tourmont, which is a painting event we were looking to do last year. That has been postponed, but it is now official. It's going to run on July 21st. Not all the informations are out, but there will be a Facebook event soon. We also have a sub-page on the Geeks of the North website right now, just to have some basic information. So you will be able to learn more, but at least now you can reserve the date.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing classes as well as open painting. So even if you don't have an official class scheduled, you can still come in and talk to artists and, you know, get some feedback and improve techniques.
Mm-hmm. We'll have an open painting contest, and that still left to consider. But there will probably be also some speed painting.
Yeah, a couple small events, other paint stuff. Intake, stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Should be very cool, very fun event, and we're trying to keep it very low cost.
Yeah. We don't have the exact cost yet, but we'll try to get that the lower we can to at least not be in the red, just to make it open to the community. Right? We want to break even, that's it.
Do you have the place, location?
It's at the Collège André Grasset.
Yep.
Yep, so...
In Montreal.
Plenty of parking, because it's a college, so they have their own parking lot, so no hunting for spaces on the street somewhere.
It's on this 4th or 6th floor, I don't remember, but there will be an elevator, so you don't have to go all the way up.
And it's not too far from Cremazie Metro Station if you want to go by metro.
It's a couple of blocks by foot. So
it's easily accessible by the 40. So.
Yep. So yep. It's in a good spot.
All right. I guess that just about covers it. Anything else, guys?
I think that's all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I will see you all in episode 45.
I don't have anything to add. That's it.
Well, you could say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. Paul.
Always a pleasure, Steve. You're always welcome here.
Hope to play a game soon.
It's like you were raised under a rock. You know?
It's 20. All right. It's 20 to midnight. So.
Yeah, yeah, I know. You're 20 minutes to pumpkin time. Exactly. I gotcha. All right. Well, we'll see you next time, Steve. Take care, Antoine. I'll see you soon.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Who, What, Why, a game design podcast, a podcast that talks about the ins and outs of game design with game designers. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.